Hey guys, Connor. So in order to get the podcast out on a quick manner, because I'm going to be gone for a couple of days, it's not as edited as the podcast usually is. So bear with us. It's going to be a little bit longer. And in order to get it out to you guys before Friday even, it's kind of just a quick edit. So bear with us. I hold these to a little bit higher recording standard than you're probably going to get with this one, but next week we should be back to kind of normal podcasting. Thanks. Hello, Tom.
We're gonna do it different. I'm not gonna say hi. Fuck
Why? Just
you,
say
Connor.
hi to me, Tom.
No.
Why do you hate me?
I just realized that we're gonna start every podcast the same unless I
Yeah, we
just
are.
start ignoring you.
Haha, fuck you.
So.
Roll the music.
Have no need to fight tonight, tonight.
You know,
Is I can
that.
still say fuck you back,
Oh
by the way.
man, was that different? I can just cut it.
Not fair.
Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of Let's Talk About League, LTAL. Could be episode 5 technically, but we're gonna combine them into one super episode.
Why
Super
is it a
Bowl.
super
A
episode?
Super Bowl kind of messed up our schedules, and I'm gonna say that this was a joint issue between the two of us, and it was both our faults that we couldn't record.
There was like four attempted nights where we were
Yes.
like, we're gonna do it this time. And then one of us was like, nope, can't do it. And then I was like, all right, we're gonna do it this time. And then someone didn't show up for it. And it was like, all right, we're gonna do this time. And then next thing you know, it's like Saturday, let's slam an episode. And then we couldn't do it. And then, all right, we just decided we're gonna
And
do a big
now
one.
it's Tuesday, but probably Thursday when you're
Oh,
listening to it.
before we move on, fuck the Patriots. And I called it. I got a prediction right. I did it.
One prediction in Tom's whole life, he got correct, and I was really happy because I hate the Patriots also. So, congrats, Tom, on being 1-0 in the NFL season.
Yes, it's all I need, man. Biggest game of the year,
Oh
big money, big wins.
man. Okay, so this episode 4.5 is what I'm calling it. Intro, yep, done, check, got it. Results of both week 3 and 4, 'cause we know you like listening to us talk, and we're just going to talk for a long time.
Yes.
We have some more talking points. We're going to make some week 5 predictions, right? Week
Yep, 'cause we're
5.
mid five's midpoint.
Five's
We
the
got the midpoint of the
midpoint.
season coming up.
So we're gonna make some five predictions, and I'm gonna just predict the opposite of everything Tom says,
Yep, 'cause I just ruin
because
everything.
he just ruins everything. And I mean, that's it for this
You want to
episode.
know a fun fact, by the
No,
way?
no.
There, I have never had a prediction right that you got wrong, except for week one, TSM versus TL, the very first game
The
of the
very
split.
first game of the
There's
split.
never been one that I predicted different than you that I was right and you were wrong, other than that one game.
Yep.
That makes me feel real great.
I don't know if it actually makes you feel great or
It doesn't. It
it
feels
shouldn't.
horrible. I don't understand. I feel like I have logic behind all of my predictions.
Man, can we talk
And when
about
we split, how is it always that I'm in the wrong side of it?
I don't always, especially on oh man, Team Liquid's gonna lose to FlyQuest. And you're just like, no, there's no way. And I was like, I have a feeling. And then FlyQuest, I mean, hypotheticals, obviously, but still. Also, can we talk about timeout for a second? I straight up told you before the game started, I said, I want to pick Echo Fox beating Team Liquid, but I just only want to give you one opposite of me just in case. Totally called the shit out of that. Even though I didn't put it down for my prediction, called it. So, but yeah, week, what, three, four, three?
Yeah,
We're starting
so
with
back
three.
to three. And
Yeah.
this is the when all unsealed spellbook on junglers starts.
The thing.
So now everybody just runs unsealed spellbook on everything,
All right.
including junglers, which is hilarious because they're like the only thing that you must take smite. And as we learn later on in the weekend, you don't always need smite on your jungler.
Right, especially when you have Apollo on your team.
Right. But first game of week three, CLG and Echo Fox, and we were both riding like the Echo Fox hype train. CLG sucks. They're 1-3, and
they fucking won.
It's like the thing was is like CLG has like super good early games, and like Echo Fox started to come back in this game, but then they just threw an elder fight and it cost them the whole game. And like the only thing I have down about players in this game is that CLG is going to five man your top laner like within 5 minutes, and Dardoch is like the best jungler in NA. Like he is an elite jungler.
He's a top tier jungler.
So fucking good.
Yep.
And it's got to be Huni, right? Like that's the big catalyst of this. Like Rainover wins MVP and on Immortals when he's got Huni top, and Huni's insane. And like the insanity of Huni plus the insanity of Dardoch being so fucking aggressive, like he'll just straight up start a 1v3 if he knows his lanes will rotate to him.
Yeah, I mean, like if we're breaking down the team, right? If we're breaking down the team, though, I feel like, not to jump to week four, but week four kind of showed us that Huni does have, like, has some matchups that he's just not good at. Not necessarily matchups, but, like, he's not a god, right?
Yes.
He can lose. He can bleed. Like, I really think that the combination of all five players on this team are keeping them together. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of it stems from Dardoch. He's doing great. He very much seems reformed in the interviews he's talking about. Like, I honestly, like, if I were to give an MVP...
Whoa.
Yep, stop.
He is not reformed. He is brainwashed.
I don't care. Whatever. Save reformed, Dardoch. Brainwashed, whatever. No, stop it. The man's winning.
He said in an interview post-game that he doesn't like playing Zac, but his team makes him. He's being beaten. Save him!
I think personally I would give it to Dardoch right now. I think it's Dardoch.
No, I agree. I agree. He's playing so well. He's played five games on Zac, and he's undefeated on him. And nobody else is playing Zac except for like Meteos, which like I don't understand how he's on something. You know he's gonna play aggressive. He gets an aggressive champion. He plays it aggressively. And a lot of times teams are getting rolled by it. And this was like this game was so close to being thrown back at CLG because of Dardoch, like keeping them in this game. And if they wouldn't have thrown the elder fight, like Echo Fox was coming back this game. If they win that fight, it's over. Like and they flip it the other way and they're just gonna roll CLG the rest of the game, I'm pretty sure. I mean, who knows? Hindsight doesn't exist in this case because it didn't happen. But
right. I don't have much else to say about that. Week three, guys, we're going to say it now. Like, there's going to be analysis, but it's going to be quicker.
It's going to be I'm going to point out the things I liked, and then I'm going to be like, this is how they won or lost the game, and then we're probably going to move on. But I just wanted to fucking splurge on Dardoch for a second, because holy fuck,
because
he is playing so well. Now I just probably jinxed him.
Probably, because you talked good about him.
And I talked good about Lyra, and we all know how well that's going.
Yeah.
All right.
C9 Optic.
So Zig tries picking Urgot into Gnar.
Yeah.
I didn't go well.
Nope.
Arrow tries to 1v9 on Kalista, and this just in, when your support isn't quite competent, it's very difficult.
To do anything.
And, yeah. And they basically come down to a 50-50 Baron, where Smoothie boxes him out, and C9 just wins, because Optic can't win. Like, after being ahead in an early game, can't win a game. Boy, then if they're behind an early game,
it's way over. You gotta get that
Baron
huge
happens,
lead.
C9 ends. Done.
Done.
Arrow can't 1v9.
Correct. I still, though, Arrow is doing better this season than I was expecting from Arrow. And I think it does show us that while he might not be up to the caliber of like MVP level Arrow, he isn't as bad as he was last split, right? We can expect good things out of Arrow. And I think if you gave Arrow a good support or a better support, you could see some really good things out of their bot lane. I just think that currently Optic does not have what it needs to succeed.
Right. All right, next game, 100 Thieves in Clutch.
Yep.
This game there was just a really cool comp where Clutch picked Solo playing Jace in the top lane, with a Galio mid and a Shen support and a J4 jungle with hard engage. And basically, they ran solo playing super aggressive on Jace in the side game and side lanes. And they basically kind of baited you to try and fight them. And they would fucking just instantly bring in the Shen and Galio in the side lanes. And it's just, the problem is that when Clutch, even when they're ahead, they don't know how to win a game like quickly and like press an advantage. They always have long ass fucking games that are super boring and strung out. And in this case, of all the teams to be boring and strung out against, 100 Thieves is like the most patient team in the league. Right. They'll just wait it out with you. And I know like the casters are really shitting on them for like not doing enough to like play aggressively, but when they're playing patient like that, and they're just going to let you lose in that case. They let Clutch lose the game and come back. So they fucking choked. They should have won this game.
I agree. They should have. And so I think the theory behind it, right, is that if you let 100 Thieves get to late game, and what we've kind of seen in a couple of different games is if you let 100 Thieves get to late game, they can win, right? They're probably going to do something that lets them outplay you, whether it's a team fight, whether it's an objective control, whatever that might be.
Some type of macro play.
Yeah, some type of macro play, right?
And they always get their play. They never like fall into the shit that you want. They always get the play that they want, whether it's a base defense or like an ending play. Like they get the fight they want.
No matter how far behind they are, they just let it neutralize to the point where they're like, well, you had a 20K gold lead, but now we're still full build, so it doesn't matter. Right. I think that it has flaws. Right. And we saw those in week 4 with them losing to FlyQuest, spoilers, also losing to Golden Guardians. Right. So like that style, and we've mentioned it before, right? That style will not carry you to a championship, right? You have to adapt and you have to change the way you're playing, because the meta is going to change, right? We're already seeing the meta change, and I think you're seeing a huge difference in the meta in the LCS already, right? Skarner's being played like what? So I think their style needs to change. Otherwise you're going to continue to see them have issues, but I think Clutch is not the team that was going to show them those issues. To be fair, I didn't think FlyQuest or Golden Guardians were going to be the teams that show those issues either. But it's a problem that they have that they need to correct if they want to continue winning in the LCS this season, I think.
Yeah. Until then, they start quite the slide.
Yep.
FlyQuest versus Liquid.
Yeah, this was
this game. So they tried bringing in Shrimp, and him playing Jarvan, and Liquid was rolling the fuck out of them. Specifically, Pobelter and Doublelift got way ahead, and I liked how Shrimp on Jarvan just kept building full damage Jarvan. Like, dude, you're not gonna kill anything. was bad.
Yeah,
this was the FlyQuest that like I saw that I expected to come out this year.
Right.
Like this team just didn't know what the fuck was going on. It was bad.
Like
everywhere.
How to play League. Yeah, it was. It didn't feel like an LCS caliber game, to be honest with you. How fast was it? It was super fast.
I don't have time down.
It was stupid fast. I'm pretty sure it was the fastest. Oh no, that was Golden Guardians. Never mind. I'm pretty sure the Golden Guardians Team Liquid game was the fastest game of the split so far. Either way, right? It wasn't very close. It wasn't a great game to watch. Like, you don't need to go back and watch it. It was the FlyQuest that we expected from the beginning of the season, like Tom said. They didn't show me anything in this game. Liquid didn't show me anything either, though. Like, Liquid didn't. Liquid
they just played aggressive, got ahead, and won.
Yeah, it was coast from there. Like, not coast the team. Like, they just coasted. I guess maybe kind of like coast.
Still taking good fights, but yeah, it was just get ahead, push the advantage, win. They did the correct thing.
Right.
Just wasn't flashy or whatever. Anyway, last game of the day for the first day for Saturday of week 3, TSM versus Golden Guardians. TSM looking way better.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, as a team, they actually looked like a team. It didn't look like a fucking solo queue game where your jungler's just pissed farming because his lanes don't do anything, and the lanes are pissed because the jungler doesn't do anything. And ultimately, my big takeaway on this game was Golden Guardians looked real bad, and you couldn't really tell if TSM was fully back yet, or at least up to where they should be. Golden Guardians just looked like fucking ass.
Yeah, again. Golden Guardians looked bad, but I think... I don't know. I wouldn't say that TSM is back to form, right? But I think a game like this shows you, I guess not even potential, really. But
this was like
in a way.
This was a must win for them. Correct. Like, they could not afford to lose a game like this.
They couldn't lose it, right? They shouldn't have lost it. And in no way, like, to be honest with you, I don't care how bad TSM is playing. They shouldn't win. They shouldn't lose this game. Because just of the caliber on their team alone, like, their potential outweighs the negatives currently, and I just don't see how they would have lost that game. And it was a good game to show that they can just stomp those teams if they need to. Yeah.
Yep. Overall, end of the day, as far as picks goes, we both got the Echo Fox versus CLG pick wrong. We picked Fox, and CLG won it. And then I picked the Clutch and Clutch versus 103 Thieves matchups, which made it extra hard to watch them just slowly lose the game that they should have won. And then.
I gotta stop losing these first games.
I didn't realize that's a trend for you.
It was until day two of this week.
No, you get the Saturdays wrong. You get the Sundays right.
Correct.
That's what you do. The first game of Saturdays, you're wrong. That's interesting. I'm so glad we have this back through. Anyway, so starting Sunday, we had Echo Fox and Optic. And I have, in all caps, Dardoch's the best jungler in NA at this point. Phoenix is fucking fragging out. The dude's just getting kills, and he's playing super aggressive. Hooney's playing aggressive. Dardoch's aggressive. They're nobody even knows the name of the guys in the bot lane. Nobody knows their AD and support.
No.
Adrian and Altec just don't do anything all game. They just don't lose.
They're just there.
They just don't lose. They actually have really good stats of the year because they team fight really well, which is perfect for what they need. But I find it hilarious that, like, There is definitely people out there that if you catch them off guard and ask who Echo Fox bot lane is, they're going to not know.
Oh, yeah. To be honest with you, I probably, if I wasn't like thinking about it and you just asked me flat out, I probably would forget.
Yeah.
They're not losing. They're not doing bad things, but they're not doing these great, like, amazing things like the other four, like, three players on the team.
Yep.
So, whatever, they're there. They're not losing. Good for them. Echo Fox is playing, they're showing up. They're playing some league. I can appreciate that.
And this game was a really good Echo Fox game. Again, they're looking super good at this point. Other than their CLG loss, they, through this week three, it was really confusing because you expected them to stomp CLG, and then you got nervous, and then they played really well versus Optic. And other than Acadian stealing Baron, this game was all Fox. And after they lost Baron, they kind of pulled down the reins a little bit and slowed down the aggression and just won it clean, which I think is really good because it shows that they can really kind of gather up and just lock in and win a game.
And that's something that I think a lot of other teams need to learn from, right? If you're Clutch, if you're 100 Thieves, like, you need to look at that moment where Echo Fox pulled back and they were like, listen, this is what we have to do to win this game now. And we got really sloppy with our execution in the middle of the game. I think that would benefit a lot of other teams in the league who are kind of in, I'm not going to say a similar situation to Echo Fox, but started around the same, right? If you look, like, to me, 100 Thieves is the one that stands out, right? 100 Thieves has started this losing streak, three games in the past 2 weeks, out of their four losses that I mean, maybe with the exception of the TSM 100 Thieves game, right? Because I think that one was a pretty good, like, TSM just did the right things. But if they could learn what Echo Fox did there and listen to just like, hey, step back, this is how we need to readjust. Other teams could really benefit from that. And I'm really impressed that that's something that Echo Fox was able to do. Not only in the middle of the game, but still this early in the split. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, overall fun.
Great. TSM 100 Thieves. We both got this wrong.
Right. Yes. So, but this was also going into week three. TSM had looked like absolute ass.
Correct.
100 Thieves was picking up wins, whether clean or not. And I have down that in this game, it feels like 100 Thieves kind of it goes with Meteos. Like if Meteos is going, 100 Thieves is going. And I don't know if it's just because I feel like he plays really, really well around Aphromoo. But overall, TSM played a really clean game, and it looked like the typical like 100 Thieves plays that had been getting them leads in other games were just kind of sniffed out and stuffed. Mm-hmm. And 100 Thieves just never really got it going.
Yeah, 100%. Like when I was watching that game, what I have written down, like I don't think necessarily that this was like 100 Thieves just losing the game. Necessarily, like they talk about
right.
solo queue, like wow, if you look at high elo players, it just looks like they miss a lot, but you have to think like maybe it's the other opponent who's just doing really well. Instead, to me, this game very much felt like TSM was just in control. They knew what was going on. They were just outplaying 100 Thieves. It wasn't like 100 Thieves was just like, oh, what do we do, how do we play against TSM, like oh crap, like their shit just got figured out and they lost the game. I didn't think it was a bad game. I didn't think it was this amazing like crazy hyped game. But I don't think it was necessarily a negative takeaway from 100 Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much. Else
I second that.
Yeah. No. I mean, that was the whole game for me.
Yeah, it was just like TSM really stuffed the like, I don't want to call them cheese plays, but 100 Thieves just has this really good way of Meteos gets really, really good first ganks off, which is a big deal right now because everybody's doing a really good job of tracking junglers in early game. Mm-hmm. Like supports are super aggressively warding up on buffs when they know the jungler's on the other side of map. Like they're doing, like, I don't know what happened in NA, but like the bottom level teams in the past few years really struggled with vision. And it was like some teams were winning games strictly off of having better vision. And when it really got exposed was when Rift Rivals happened and it was NA versus EU, and EU didn't have any vision control of any map compared to NA.
Right.
And I don't know where, but the bottom level of like the basics in NALCS has really come up. Like even these bottom level teams are doing the right stuff early games. I don't know if it's coaches have just gotten so much better or if what the standard like play is right now is so good, but Meteos seems to be like the only jungler who is getting super high value first ganks that aren't just like full fucking five man dives.
Right.
And so they get these like super small advantages early and they ride them out. They play patient and they win. And it got stuffed really hard. And it really kind of woke up like, wait, 100 Thieves doesn't play that aggressively.
Right.
I think. And it kind of like this game, I think really kind of exposed them for what they might really be.
I would say, I mean, kind of going off your point a little bit there, Dardoch has gotten some good, like, solo early ganks in the top lane. Not to take anything away from Meteos. I still think you have a point in saying that Meteos probably has the most, but there are some other junglers that are still getting some.
True.
In general...
A lot of them are clusterfuck dives though. Like CLG, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen.
Most
like,
of them are clusterfuck dives.
There have been some others.
Yeah, every gang for CLG has been just fucking like throw everything you have.
Hootie TP, not Hootie, who he TPs at some point within the first 3 minutes, and it is not back to lane.
Yeah,
no. All over the place. Nope.
Oh, there's a ward in anyway. The enemy red. Red? Oh, I should
it's like, yeah, it's like the old Hoonie meme where it's mm-hmm. like, if there's a ward in the river, Hoonie will TP to it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's like Hoohie right now, but it's like super early on, he just TPs all over the map. Anyway, mm-hmm. on to the next game. We're going to get through these.
Liquid.
Liquid versus Golden Guardians.
Fuck this game.
This... Contracts and High just die to every counter gank mid yeah. at the beginning
literally,
of the game.
Like anything they started... It was just like, hey, I'm here. Oh, no, I'm dead.
Poe Belter got a double kill off a counter gank, and it was game over. Mm-hmm. Like, it was that easy. This game was that easy for Liquid.
The double kill
on the counter gank ended it.
Dude, Poe Belter played out of his mind this week. And I know, right, like, he played out of his mind, but he played against FlyQuest and Golden Guardians. Like, who the fuck cares? He played really well, right? I think Poe Belter played really well this week. If you don't have Poe Belter playing that well, I still think they win both of their games this week. Even if you have like a mediocre mid, but I think Poe Belter definitely helped with the success this week. So
for sure. And Liquid's in a spot where like this week, specifically in week three, they in this game with that lead, Golden Guardians even sniffs out a bot dive, okay? Mm-hmm. And they move down, and they move four people down to defend this. Everybody but Lorelo is down here to defend this bot dive. And they still get 4-0'd.
Yep.
Like, they know it's coming. They know it's there. And I think they even fucking had Galio this game. They were completely prepared and just got absolutely fucking slaughtered.
Yep.
And it was, I think this was where TL was really flexing. And Golden Guardians just was like, we are not there. we're not ready for this yet. And that's what they ended their weekend on, which rolled into, of course, their coach getting canned. And I felt like it was quite like, yes, Golden Guardians is the worst team in the league. Are they going to get better immediately by firing their coach? No. Does it help that their coach is sexually harassing Riot employees? No.
Yeah. Spoilers, Loco's gone, by the way, in case anyone didn't understand that. But yeah, no, I don't know what he was contributing. I've never really liked Loco as a coach, personally. I'm not a big fan of him as a person. Anything like he's not a piece of
anybody who has watched
but...
Breaking Point.
Right.
He's like, how can you watch Breaking Point and think that he is like a someone you could hire as a coach? Why would you pay him anything
right.
to come to your team? He's fucking toxic as fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe he interviews really well. But I want to play a game real quick. So we're going to stop mid predictions here.
Okay.
We just know he's sexually harassed a Riot employee.
Right.
So let's play some allegedly. Allegedly, do you think he was like allegedly like? What, there's so the only like girl Riot employees that are in A is like there's Avalee, and then there's like that one girl ref.
Yeah. Oh, I mean that we know of. There's probably others.
Well, of course there's more, but like, do you think he's like hitting up trying to get an interview here? Like, how the fuck does this happen? He's only at Riot HQ on game days,
mm-hmm.
right? Is he like trying to sweet talk the ref into pulling some wins here? Like,
no, I think it was before an interview.
Could this even be?
It was before an interview. Yeah, somebody I don't remember. I think it was an ESPN article, maybe. It was before one of the interviews, and then Riot pulled the interview. I'm guessing it was with Avalee.
Oh man, what a fucking creep, man! I mean, allegedly, he's. Logodoko's allegedly a huge fucking creep. So please, no one ever hire him for anything else. We don't talk about another man's job. We shouldn't. But why?
But don't give the man a job.
I can't. Like I don't know. I can't say I've met him, so I shouldn't probably bash him this hard. But there's certain things that just like as humans, like what the fuck, man.
I know. So he said like on the 4th he was gonna stay off of Twitter and that he was gonna like. Don't take everything for face value, because it was an ESPN report. And then he hasn't tweeted since the 4th, so I think he's dead.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
He's not dead. No, I can't kind of feel bad.
You should. It's your fault.
On to the next game!
What's for C9?
So the rookie top laner, the rookie NA top laner clash here. And Licorice comes out on top with the solo kill.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up getting caught playing too aggressively sometimes, but I really like that. Like he's playing aggressive, getting ahead, and then kind of swinging his dick around, let him know what's up. And then ultimately, this game turned into Smoothie dying during their Baron sieges, so the game stalls out. Or during their first Baron siege, and then the second one after they get Baron and Elder. They just C9 just ends because Clutch kind of just sits around and waits to die when they're behind.
Yep, they just keel over, and it's not gonna work against C9. Like you're not gonna take C9 to late game, as week 4 proved us. Also, like C9, surprising to me is very easily the best, or pretty close to the best team in North America right now, which is sad to me. Not because I don't like C9. I love C9. I don't think even C9... So C9 and Echo Fox right now, I guess at the end of week 4, are our top two teams tied for first, right? And I don't think on a Worlds level, either of them would even hold a candlestick to Worlds talent right now. Which sucks, right? Like, I don't think... I personally think the top tier caliber of NA went way down this season. I think it's probably possibly because of what roster swaps and things like that. But C9 looks good in NA right now.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny because I was just talking about how the bottom really feels like it came up in certain for a lot of teams.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't say for every team.
For a lot of teams,
but I don't know if it's just an overall illusion or if it really is just that close right now.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it could just be that it's really close in general. I don't think so, but it could be. I've been wrong before. Otherwise, in general, this was a good game by C9. Clutch did clutch things, and they just gave the game away. Anything else?
No.
Cool.
I got nothing else.
Cool. CLG.
That big thing.
What?
No, died. Nothing. CLG cool. Versus Fly.
Yeah, CLG versus FlyQuest.
Man, this is a different CLG team than when we made the predictions for week 3.
Yeah.
Because like this CLG team actually talked to each other and knew how to play as friends. And they put Huhi on Zillion this game so that way when Stixxay was feeding his ass off and suiciding, he could just get ulted by Zillion and it was fine. They could still win.
Yeah. This I mean even in both of their wins this week, Stixxay was still a huge issue for me. I think Huhi is easily one of the highlights of this team right now. Zion Spartan is doing well. I don't know. I still have issues.
Who the fuck is Zion Spartan? I know who it is, but
oh, Darshan.
Zion Spartan.
Jesus!
Dead.
Wow. Sorry,
Spartan's
Darshan.
Dead.
Holy shit! Wow, that was a throwback for a second. I'm tired.
Not
apparently.
Flashbacks.
Woo! Anyways, back to reality. Darshan, to me, is doing well, but he's not, like, doing anything crazy spectacular to, like, to carry the team over Stixxay's shortcomings.
Right. Ultimately, CLG looks like they learned how to play as a team again, but they still have issues that Zix, I think, is just doing a really good job of drafting around.
Correct.
To, like, prevent them from being exploited. I still expect the better teams in the league to really drill down on them.
Like in week 4.
I wish they started off the day, but unfortunately they don't, so we need to kill your segue there.
No, you're good. They don't. It wasn't supposed to be a segue.
Okay. Well, I kind of want to go over the end of the week picks anyway, so
yeah, you're good.
Overall, other than your Echo Fox versus CLG loss and your 103 Thieves versus TSM loss, you ended the week 8-2, because fuck you.
Man.
And... on top of those that I also got wrong, I somehow baited myself into the FlyQuest versus CLG pick.
I think I baited you
one.
Into it.
I wanted it, dude. I
know
even
you did.
The game was exactly what I thought too. Like Stixxay was suiciding to Turtle flashing in, but when Stixxay's getting rezzed by Zillion and Turtle's not, they just lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sad. It was gonna be. I mean, it's not even an upset at that point.
I don't think it's an upset.
But no. I don't know. All right, it's been a rough start, and week four is upset central. Holy
God,
fuck. Saturday,
week.
What was it? I don't know what was in the water in that place,
dude,
but it was throwing people off.
I don't know. So we start the week off with TSM clutch, right? And after week 3, so we did do our predictions for week 4 before week 4 started. We didn't get them tweeted out or anything like that, but let's see. We'll go down. I'll go down them real quick. TSM versus Clutch. We both picked TSM. C9 versus Team Liquid. Tom picked Team Liquid. I picked C9. Optic versus CLG. We both picked CLG. 100 Thieves versus FlyQuest. We both picked FlyQuest. Fox versus Golden State. We both picked Fox. Day 2. FlyQuest versus C9. We both picked C9. 100 Thieves versus Golden Guardians. We both picked 100 Thieves. TSM CLG. We both picked TSM. TL versus Fox, we both picked TL, and Clutch versus Optic, we both picked Clutch.
I blame Connor.
I blame Tom.
Connor picked all the same picks as me.
No,
and
I
then
didn't.
Upset, except for one.
Except
we
for
are
one, but I did mention
one
two.
One game.
I did mention two, but we are only one game separated. I picked C9
right.
Over TL. This week was like, what the fuck? Just the entire week was.
There was a lot of fun shit, too. Like, I really liked a lot of the games this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially these Saturday games. I had a lot of hype going into them. And I actually really enjoyed them. Lots of things got busted out. I'm ready to get into them. Is there any overview you want to say about the week before we get into them?
Not really. Nothing else crazy like started this week. We saw a lot more Skarner this week.
Yes, a lot more Cassiopeia.
Yeah. That's
Ornn kind of, that's is dead.
It. Yeah, Ornn. I don't. Did we even see Ornn once? I think we saw Ornn once.
Yeah. Yes, he was played at least once.
Yes.
Can confirm at least once.
Can confirm.
But no, more aggressive junglers came out overall. And it also is the same fucking matchup top lane in like every single one of these games. Mm-hmm. Almost every game is Vlad and GP top because they both have no fun buttons. Like GP has his oranges, his W that cleanses, and then Vlad has his pool that he just drops in and slides away. Like it is absolutely, I'm so glad the casters called it out on one of the games. I don't even remember what game it was, but they're like, yeah, it's just nobody wants to go top lane against those two because they're just going to walk away from any gank. And unless you go full CLG five man it, not fun.
We have
so anyway
five champions at 100% pick ban, and then a sixth champion at 90%. So the games are pretty similar.
Right. And anyway, to start off week four, so this most recent weekend, TSM in clutch. And with TSM looking better in the week before and clutch looking the same as Envy has for the last year and a half. This game was spicy, man.
Dude, it was. Like
it started with a level one invade that just fucking failed. And clutched bot lane, got double killed.
Horribly.
Yes.
Should have been like, you look at that and you're like, okay, well, this is TSM's game now. And then it wasn't. Just like, come on. Like, I don't know. This game was spicy is the best way to describe this game. And I thought TSM was off to a better start. Or not better start, but better week to come after week three, right? And it didn't happen with this game.
Yeah, and like, so the level one fails. Clutch's bot lane is double killed. They're behind. And they still manage, like, to get all the early dragons. And they're going even in most of their fights. And then at some point, Lyra, with his unsealed spellbook, takes cleanse on Skarner, which makes sense. Because he has flash and cleanse. So he can flash in and ult someone with Skarner to drag them back to his team. Mm-hmm. And he has cleanse to avoid any CC to roll them out. However, he doesn't pay attention to Baron timing. And he ends up with no smite around Baron. And TSM fucking loses Baron to an Ezreal Q.
Man.
And Lyra doesn't even have smite. Like, he can't smite steal it. It's not possible. And
he swapped it for exhaust, right?
I think he had flash and cleanse.
Oh, I thought he swapped it for exhaust on that play.
He might have swapped at that point, but I want to say he had cleanse. We'll have to double check it. Yeah. But TSM somehow fall, like, after this point, they just fall into the clutch. Like, we're just gonna wait and wait and wait. Clutch just won their hour-long games that the only games that they win are fucking 50 minutes long, unless it's Optic. I don't understand how TSM throws this game.
I don't either, especially because Sven played out of his fucking mind this week.
Right.
Like, Sven this week easily, I think, was the best or one of the best AD carries in North America, right? He died once, I think? Once or twice all weekend. Highest KDA at 23 and highest kill percentage at 95.8% on an AD carry. Ridiculous. And they still just, let's lose a game at 60 minutes. Like, that's the kind of thing that I think later in the season, if it's not fixed, you don't make playoffs. But that is the type of thing that I think can be fixed with practice and coaching. And more time playing together as a team. So that game itself didn't necessarily worry me for TSM's season. It was irritating because I didn't think they should have lost that game. And I don't think Clutch really did anything. I mean, besides steal a Baron with an Ezreal Q. That, like, stood out. besides right. just Apollo being a... I think Apollo stole more objectives this week than any jungler in the league did, if I remember correctly. Which is
he had three
stupid.
Steals.
It was dumb.
On the weekend.
Yes.
Or against TSM. Was it just against TSM?
I might no, no. He stole Baron. He stole a blue buff. I'm pretty sure he stole a dragon. Yeah. Also, it's dumb. It's stupid. Same. Right. So good for him. He's carrying the shit out of that team right now, in my opinion. TSM, fix your shit. But definitely something that is fixable, in my opinion.
Yes.
C9 Liquid.
Licorice, dude, is the rookie of the year.
Fucking monster. And
fuck all the haters. Oh, I've been sitting on this take, and it is mine. He dunked Impact to the point where, like, Impact literally fed his ass off. Mm-hmm. Like, it was bad. Licorice is nuts, man. He got so far ahead, and all of a sudden, Liquid got super exposed that they can't play from behind.
Yeah, no. You get Liquid behind that much, and they just, they kind of fall apart. They don't really, I mean, not that they don't know what to do, but C9 was on their shit. They knew exactly what they needed to do, and Jensen this week was a monster. Jensen this week easily played as the best mid laner in North America, racking up 13 kills in two games. They knew what to do, right? They just got outclassed in general.
Yep. I've got two things for you.
Do it. Throw it.
All right. The first thing is, I was right. It's Cleanse and Flash on Lyra. I have the video up right now. Perfect. Witnessing it. The second thing, what is scarier? TSM trying to win with a lead or Team Liquid trying to win from behind?
Fuck.
Here's the deal, right? I still believe when I watched games like that, when TSM's ahead, I still believe they're going to lose it. And when Liquid's behind, I still believe they're going to win it.
Yeah,
and
I
when
agree.
Liquid comes back, I'm like, oh, it makes sense. Liquid came back. But if TSM loses, it's like, oh, TSM blew another lead.
Yeah.
No surprise.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. I don't think, I mean, depending on the team, right? Like in that game, I saw C9 down or up, right? And I'm like, this is over, right? C9 is playing well enough this season. I didn't see a way that TL came back from that unless C9 really just fucked up.
Well, and fucking Licorice was so goddamn huge.
Dude,
it wasn't
Licorice
gonna...
just, what was it, twice against Impact that he solo killed him?
Yes.
Man, that GP Vlad matchup, he was a fucking monster. I loved it.
He was full MR, too. He had Trinity Force, Hex Drinker, and Merc Treads, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like, he outplayed the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great game. It was a fun game to watch. I enjoy watching C9 play. I wear a C9 bracelet every day. I enjoy watching them play, and I'm happy that they're good this season.
I got that hoodie, though. Shout out to the girlfriend.
Man, I wish I had the hoodie. Just don't pay $80.
Right? I didn't, because I have a great girlfriend. Kat, on to the next game. I don't have anything else on this one.
I don't either.
Oh, you, go ahead. You can have a moment.
No, we're good. She doesn't listen to the podcast anyways.
No,
but if
Ashley
you do,
doesn't either. So.
Kat, I would love this hoodie. Thanks. Bye.
Make sure you get the one with the right color strings.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. That's an insider.
Optic CLG. Yeah.
Who he gets their alien soul? Optic's fucked, right?
Yeah, nope. Didn't happen.
Like, they have such great early games. And Optic is known for having a good early game and throwing.
Right.
And CLG, I don't know. I don't get how you have such a great early game and then it turns into a 10k gold deficit at 30 minutes.
Team fighting? Macro? I don't remember which in this game. I know it was one of the two. I have to find my notes on it.
Would you like to find your notes on it? I mean, really, it just came down to, like, Optic has these... There was really, really, really good analysis on Optic after the Optic and Clutch game on day two.
Yep.
Like, post-game, Jat and Mark Z went into really good depths about why these teams should be way better. Like, Optic plays so well off of each other for certain points, but typically it's only for, like, a 20-minute stretch in a game. They don't actually, like, carry it over. A lot of times it's the first 20, and this game, it goes from, like, 10 to 30 minutes, they just win everything.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, they finally go get an objective and end the game. Like, they didn't struggle to, like, lose the Baron. They didn't lose the Baron dance. They didn't, like, fuck up and take a bad fight. They didn't have Lemon getting caught in some ridiculous spot where it's like, why are you even, like, dealing with that? You're just running around in Morgana or Braum. Like, why are you there?
They just pressed again.
They got an objective that they needed to help them win. They went, sieged, won the fight, ended the game. Like, They looked like a good team, especially coming back from getting dunked in the first like 10 minutes. I don't know. And whenever you have Houhi on Aurelion Sol, I feel like as an opponent, it's like a mind game. It's like, fuck, he actually fucking picked it and we let it through. We fucked up. Yep. Like, I feel like you sit there after champ select and you're like, fuck, can we remake? Is there a bug?
There's a bug.
Like, where's Bjergsen? Bjergsen, make up a bug.
Yep.
I don't know. And CLG comes out. I wonder how frustrating Zix must be after this year. Like this, or so far this season, because I bet he feels like he really sets them up to win like every week, mm-hmm. and they come out and they execute so well to start games, and then they just do nothing with it. And other teams are saying they're getting stomped by CLG in scrims,
yep.
and it's like, well, it's obvious how like their early games are perfect, and nobody else is doing what they're doing, which is TPing their top or their mid laner into the tri bush for a dive at 3 minutes. Like you shut down the split pusher. Then you have Darshan ahead in the split push lane, and you can just push advantages, and they just don't. Stixxay just dies all over the place.
He
requires full-blown babysitting. And Biofrost is like, man, I'm used to an aggressive AD, but I at least knew an aggressive AD that could survive. Like,
So then if we switch out Stixxay, right, how good is CLG? In theory, like if you say you give CLG, fuck, I don't care, a good AD, you give them double lift, I don't care, right? How good is CLG then? Do you think?
Well, they get a lot better immediately because they have someone who can like play aggressively without being punished so hard.
Yep.
Like Stixxay dying costs them huge objectives, huge fights. Like there's so many times he's dead so early in the fight, and it's like, well, fuck, they can't even disengage; they're committed. Like, they're all going to die here.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Houhi has been playing. I really like the way Houhi is playing this year. It just feels like it used to be a thing where it's like, is Houhi even in the game? And now it's like his early games look so good. He's got an advantage. Darshan's got an advantage. And then they just.
Houhi was good last year, though. Houhi's been good for the past two splits.
He has. But there's a lot of times where you're just kind of like, what does Houhi do? How does he help you win? All right.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times, unless he was having his like crazy weird pocket pick pop offs, he like it didn't feel like he was a huge. It's kind of similar to how Power of Evil feels to me on Optic this year. He's there and he's doing well in games, but very rarely is he popping off and like actually being games. And, like, Houhi at least has the early game to be, like, he's ahead. He needs to, like, he's going to be flying all over the map on these things. And then he just, like, stops TPing around. And I feel like they lose their aggression. And they don't know what to do after these early games go through. And teams throw plays back at them. Like, it's very clear to me now that plays exist on these LCS teams. They have plays that they design and run where they have comps and they have certain champions. They're baiting you to fight them in certain areas. Like it's a thing. And CLG just like falls apart in so many games and it's scary for them. Which is why ultimately back to my point, I feel like if you're Zix, you kind of sit back and be like, what the fuck do I need?
Come on, like, guys.
And last year, you know, they got jungler changes and stuff like that, so it felt like they were trying to adapt when they were struggling. And now it's like you need to execute with Rainover and Rainover playing this aggressively. Like, why aren't people matching his aggression? And why aren't people pressing leads with him? I feel like I don't know. I need to do more like film on it to figure out really what it is. Overall, I don't think they should be anywhere near this low in the standings.
No, I agree, but I think they may need to make some changes before they climb. Yeah. 100 Thieves versus FlyQuest. Fuck this game.
Fuck this game because why?
Man, 100 Thieves 100% showed their whole, oh man, we can't really get just like a crazy early game lead, so we're just going to play this crazy weird play style where we just play to the end of the game and then we'll just beat you when we get our play. And then, oh, wait, we never got our play. Fuck. Oh, man, that's our Nexus.
Yep, and it was very clear that FlyQuest had a Korean playing Galio mid, and he knew what to do with it.
Good for like, him, by the
Fly
way.
Fly is now Fly now has started. Their mid laner Fly now and plays for Fly, so Fly is playing mid,
playing like a monster.
Yes, and it's like all right, like FlyQuest now has like a win condition other than Turtle getting fed.
Mm-hmm. He did really also, well in the second game too.
Yeah,
I know they lost to C9, but
this game was a roll versus 100 Thieves. So, like 100 Thieves did the thing where they didn't get their little early advantage, and it's very clear now after two games that when they don't get their very small early lead, they struggle to make the plays that they want because they're not ahead, and they kind of just they don't ever lose. Like they very rarely are getting clapped, but they got clapped pretty hard.
Well, and they were still trying to make their plays, right? Like you saw what I think it was a couple of dives down bot that just they didn't work, right? They just didn't get advantages, and in those plays where they're trying to make their leads and they're not getting them, it's almost like they don't know what to do afterwards, right? They're just like, oh fuck, this didn't work. What do we do now? And that, like, it didn't work for them. They didn't gain their lead. They lost because FlyQuest just kept outplaying them. It was a FlyQuest win, right? I don't think this was 100 Thieves, like, giving them a win. I would 100% give credit to FlyQuest on this one. FlyQuest outplayed the fuck out of 100 Thieves.
Yep. It's a well-deserved win. Mm-hmm. Very exciting for them to see Fly come in and fit right away.
Yes. Fox versus Golden Guardians.
So Dardock gets to play Jax.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to play a stupid tank. And
means that.
Yes. The one he literally said in his post-game interview that he goes, man, they always make me play Zac, but I don't want to play it. Save Dardock!
Stop.
Get that man out of there!
Stop.
Let him win MVP first, and then save him.
Dude, I'm okay with that.
I don't know if he will, though. He's got such, like, this. He has such a bad rap, and it's not even fair. Honestly, in every fucking, like, mic check or any bit of audio, that team is the happiest team other than, like,
I don't think
Zig Island. Because Zig Island is the happiest place in the world because he just dies and he's like, ha ha ha, I died. Sorry, guys.
I don't think his reputation will be an issue this season, right? I think that if he deserves MVP, like, he would 100% win MVP.
Understand who the voters are, right?
Yeah.
It is a very large handful of Riot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I think it would be good to show. Why wouldn't you? It's a great story if you're Riot.
Do you know who is butted heads with Riot?
Tyler One.
Rick Fox.
Yeah.
Is butted heads with Riot.
Yeah.
And especially the way that they handled a lot of their franchising and the way that his team was incorporated. And so not only does your org kind of have a bad taste with a large number of your voters, but you also have this quote-unquote toxic player who hasn't shown any form of toxicity currently. And for Dardock's like case, he has never, other than Breaking Point being released by Liquid, no one would have ever fucking known that this guy is just straight up a quitter, right? Like when he was on bad teams. And like, I just feel like if that doesn't ever become a thing and ever become Riot's favorite news tool on him when he got passed around from team to team, that, like, this year, he would be the big talking point. Like, he is the best jungler in North America by a long shot. Look at every other team and give me a jungler that, like, can play up to him right now.
Right.
Like, there's nobody that is playing anywhere near Dardock's level. He is playing aggressively, and he is beating the shit out of people. And when he is getting that with Hooney, like him on Jax and Hooney's lane dominance, holy fuck, man. Like if Lorlo wasn't on Camille this game, he was screwed. But he got to just sit there and take it up the ass until he scaled out on Camille. And Lorlo eventually tries to 1v9 this game, and it's just not anywhere near enough because he got pushed so far behind early. I feel like this is a game where he really could have like gone nuts if he wouldn't have been shafted so hard by Echo Fox early game.
Correct.
Like, Dardock was not letting him have any wave that hit the tower. They were killing him.
We could have seen more of how Lorelo played in game two of this week instead of how he's played for the rest of the split so far.
Right.
But it just didn't happen. Overall, I think you could give Dardock MVP. I think,
like,
it's a possibility.
I don't know anyone else who has stood out that much. And the fact that, like, he's not even he's getting their, like, they do their OP5 at the end of the week and everything like that, and he's getting awards, don't get me wrong, and I know that there are analysts out there that don't put the whole, like, past in it, but there's also guys out there that are like, Jensen's been really consistent, gotta vote for Jensen, and Jensen's playing well, but Dardock has, like, Dardock and Hooney, and, like, he has Phoenix as his mid laner. He was in the Challenger Series last year, like, and was on very bad LCS teams, and Phoenix is currently leading the league in kills. You yeah. can't tell me that has nothing to do with his jungler.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm this
You're
is
getting real aggressive. Rant.
This is completely directed at just overall generalized, like, dissatisfaction with, it's like, Dardock, people know, like, oh, Dardock's really good, but he's toxic. It's like, ditch the fucking toxic part and start talking about how good he is.
Right.
I'm over it.
Wait until, like,
rant.
If he's not, being toxic right now, he's not toxic. Sorry. Like, people change, especially in their situation. He's in the right situation now. Good for him. Cool. Echo Fox, Golden Guardians. Anything else?
No.
Cool. Day one.
This was, yeah.
Cut it. Done. Day one. We got day two. Oh, man, day two. I
Another,
won more games in day two, though.
I mean, yeah, I went fucking 1-4 in day one, and if it wasn't for your C9 pick over TL, you would have been right there with me. You fell out of 2-3.
This week sucked. I went 5-5. Man.
This second day was much... I don't know. Overall, it's just like...
It still was a bunch of upsets.
There were cool picks. There were a couple fun games in here.
Yeah. FlyQuest C9. Again, C9 just showing dominance. Kind of.
Licorice.
I guess not really.
And here's the deal. So Licorice, 2 days in a row, gets the Vlad into GP. Mm-hmm. Except for this time, Flame is not rolling over like Impact was.
Right.
And Licorice actually got dumpstered in lane. In the same matchup that he just stomped. And FlyQuest somehow get first tower, first blood, and first Baron.
And lose the game.
And they lose every team fight. Not only
like,
the
they
game.
Never, they never, like, they had all of that. They got all of that. And they never seemed like they had control of the game. Like, there wasn't once where I looked at the game and I was just like, oh, FlyQuest is going to win this game, right? Even when they had Baron, like, they're pushing C9. Like, the entire time, I was like, C9 is still pushing them into their base. Like, C9 is winning this game still. C9, I think, not even team comp-wise, but just overall team macro play beat FlyQuest. And if you blinked, the game was over, right? FlyQuest had objectives, like, they were kind of doing good things, and then the game ended. And I was just like, what the fuck happened? Like, when did this get over?
Basically, I think what happened was they were so busy showing us top lane, where Fly was winning lane on GP, which GP is fucking abysmal in lane. I'm tired of people being like, oh, once he gets a Sheen, he's good. Like, GP is so abusable. And teams know this, mm-hmm. and there's certain teams that take advantage of it,
especially
and certain
in the
teams
LCS.
Don't. And, like, up until this game, C9 has been pouring a ton of resources into Licorice, and he's been shining with it.
Yep.
And this time, they really let him. They're like, hey, you know what a Flame Horizon is, right? Okay, don't let it happen. Have fun. and he got dicked. But the thing was, is he was still playing, and he still transitioned into team fighting really, really well. There was a lot of times where it was like, he was just, like, it felt like he flashed on Turtle every fight, and it cost Turtle all of his sums, and Turtle just looked lost in a lot of fights. And he just kind of sat back with Ezreal, and he didn't die. I mean, Turtle went 2-1-4. FlyQuest subbed in their new support, JJ, who played really well on Alistar. But it ends up with Jensen just being a big fat Azir and no fun bully. And
Jensen wins this game.
Yeah.
You don't have Jensen this week, and C9 probably loses to Liquid, and they probably lose to FlyQuest here.
I don't know, man. Licorice popped the fuck off against Liquid.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on if you're mid lane as well. Because Pobelt has been doing well, right? Like, you have Licorice
doing
pop off
well.
With...
Doing well. What? He's been playing so fucking good.
Yeah, he's been doing really well. He didn't do that great this week, though. If I round out week 3 and 4, I'm going to call it well. Fuck you. Family
I'm
podcast.
Stats right now. Fuck a family podcast. All right. He went 2-2-0 against C9.
Okay.
Okay.
Well.
And are we talking week 4 and week 3 or week 4?
Whatever you want. It's up to you. You're the one pulling stats.
His game against Echo Fox, he went 1-4-5 on Rise. But we're gonna get to that game. We're not there yet. Then for week three, still pulling. Oh my god, our stats department is so good at this. I love them. They're great. My mouse can't click any faster, I promise. He went 10-1-3 on Corky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a pop off. Just throwing that out there. And against Golden. Ah, I clicked the wrong button. No, our stats department. We're having technical difficulties. And he went 8-0-4 against FlyQuest.
Okay, so week three he did well. Week four he did meh and poor.
Well, he was 18-0-5. Well, plays well.
Hey, oh my god, you're dramatic. You're dramatic. You're dramatic. Calm down.
I don't know. There's certain players that just don't get enough credit. And it drives me insane.
I'm giving him credit.
But I am so fucking tired of Jensen and Bjergsen are so good. Oh my god, I love them. They're great.
Bjergsen. I don't think he's playing better than Jensen. I do think he's playing 100% better than Bjergsen this season. I'm not saying Poulter is bad. I'm saying he's easily...
You're backtracking a lot of things here.
No! Well is not a bad thing.
I expect it is better than well.
You are
well
dramatic. Calm yourself down. Golden Guardians versus 100 Thieves. Moving on. 100 Thieves loses this game. Laurelo pops off.
Oh, no, slow down. Fine. I want to talk about the draft in this game. Fine. This is such a cool draft. I love drafts. I don't get to talk about them as much in these long pods.
Nope, you're good.
Golden Guardians. No more Loco Doco, the sexual predator. I mean, allegedly. have a new coach in here, and they pick Camille in the first rotation. They don't have first pick, but they pick Camille. I believe 100 Thieves takes like Sejuani. They get Camille in the first rotation, and that is typically like ill-advised because you can kind of pick some really good matchups into Camille top lane. But probably the coach of 100 Thieves is also very, very smart enough to know that if you're picking Camille this early, you're probably going to flex her. At some point, she had been played at support. She's not that great. But currently, the Korean thing is to play Camille in the jungle because of her long-range engage. And they hide this as such a... after the first rotation comes back around, they pick Shen, yet another like top support flex pick. And they hide this Camille pick so well. And they basically get last pick where they can really expose who their top laner is going to be. And they really force 100 Thieves in this weird situation where when they're drafting, they're not able to get hard counter picks. They have to pick a really standard comp. And when you come up to this and you see a Camille as your Camille Shen as your potential top lane opponents or a final blind pick, the safest thing to do is pick a tank.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put Someday on Ornn. Still a solid pick, definitely not top tier. They had to they threw bans at shit. Probably is even smart enough to ban out the Rengar pick to prevent like this Orianna Rengar combo that Contrax is like totally known for play and high with Orianna. They totally run comps like this where they run some dive jungler with Orianna. So he sniffs it out and probably knows it's coming. And he puts it Someday on a tank, but he's not prepared for the Alawi top lane pick. Counter pick, last pick. And holy fuck, all of a sudden you have a Lowy top, Camille jungle, with Shen bot lane, with an Orianna ball engage. And...
oh, ow.
what a draft, dude. Yeah. This draft was gorgeous. And it was, and probably knew a lot of this stuff was coming. But you totally tee yourself up to get fucked. Because you can't just, like... You have to pick away something like that. And you can't pick away the Camille when it's in the first rotation and then gets disguised so well. And then you line yourself up to also get counterpicked top lane when probably really drafted as safe as he possibly could. What a draft. My God.
Yeah, no, this isn't a blame probably for the draft, obviously. This was just a great draft by Golden Guardians.
Right, and I honestly believe if they don't ban that Rengar, there's a serious possibility that they still pick that and give Lorlo Camille top, because he just played Camille top the day before, got dicked in lane, and still almost won V9'd. Mm-hmm. Like, Lorlo is definitely comfortable in this champion, but you put contracts on him, and then holy fuck, contracts pulling out the big dick plays. He's ulting over Sejuani ults, ulting over every type of CC engage. He gets every engage that he wants. And he makes Hai look stupid because he's getting every engage that he wants, and Hai's missing Orianna ults. Hai doesn't miss Orianna ults. It's like one of the three champions he plays.
Yeah.
Like, what a game. Yeah, this team is brand new. Like, holy fuck.
I mean, let's not say brand new.
This draft, if they pick winning drafts every week,
if they
and you're going to give
like
guys
that every week, they'll have the best drafts in the league.
They just primary picked for contracts without anybody getting away with it.
Right.
And when you, and all of a sudden, now contracts isn't playing into something that everybody is seeing coming and expecting. They're not getting counter ganked level like three mid, and he's getting these just hard carry junglers, and he's getting ahead. And this is how Golden Guardians wins. We talked about this before the season started. Like, getting these guys on their primary picks and getting them ahead, they will win games like this. They are a threat to everyone. They can beat Echo Fox with comps like this.
They can beat anyone with comps like this.
They can beat C9 like this. Yes, I agree. And I really think they're going to get away with it. This isn't just you ban Camille and it's over.
You can't get away with this all season, though. That's the thing. There's going to be times where you don't get last pick. There's going to be time like it. Just relying on just this strategy, this draft strategy necessarily, is not going to get them into a positive season.
Yes, but we're talking about a team that was 0-5 coming into this game.
Oh, it's a night and day difference, right?
And this will get them off the bottom. Like, this is a team where it's like, now all of a sudden, I have to really, really think about, are they going to, like, actually beat teams like CLG and Clutch and these middle, like, Fly is playing well. Like, Optic has these strong points and weak points. What if Optic doesn't get out to their lead? Like, right. Golden Guardians all of a sudden starts really feeling like a middle of the pack team when they were very clearly the bottom before week four.
Right.
So that's why I am just like, fuck it. I mean, maybe it's a one draft thing.
That's what I need to see, right?
It showed everything. And I feel like this is one of those things that when you have a team like them, whether they're young or not, you have experience leading them. And typically when you get a sniff of success like this, they're going to run with it for at least a little bit. And I don't know. Rooting for the underdog is real. Hai is right. All right. I'm feeling it, dude. This game had me wet, man. It was great.
Hai's interview was interesting.
It was.
We're not
going to
tell
this.
We're not going to tell you that. This is all secret. Sorry.
It was a really fucked up thing, too. They're like, how did you win this game? He goes, I can't talk about strategies. It's like, wait, all you have to do is say that you got the picks you wanted and you guys got to win. And then he even asked, like, what about your draft? It's like, well, obviously we have draft strategies and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. It's like, well, thanks, Hai. What color is the sky?
Green? Okay, cool. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, are you hiding that one, too? Are you with discussing that?
Obviously, like, she was good with it, but it was kind of awkward even on her side.
Yeah, well, she's not expecting a team, like a player to be like just fucking stick. I mean, she's asked Dardock and teed up Dardock for being toxic and she got answers.
Right.
And then Hai is like, oh, I can't talk. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. The interview was the worst part of the game.
Yeah.
Cool. TSM CLG, moving on. This game was kind of exactly what I expected, to be honest.
I mean, I liked the he mid pick. He picked Fiora mid into Galio, which is Fiora is great into tanks. And then he also did this really cool thing where he just kept fucking... He made Haunter look like a feeder for about 10 minutes. He just kept killing Haunter in the side lane, and Haunter just kept running up to him. It's like, this is rookie Haunter all over again. Like, the Nom flashbacks were coming in. But that was literally the only thing they had going was... who he getting kills in side lanes. Yeah. He didn't actually get unlocked in a side lane. Like, if this was a game against a team that was okay with stalling it out more, like Clutch, I really felt like who he was going to go full monster split push.
Yes.
But they never really got him unlocked. And then all of a sudden, here we go again, where CLG just... nothing. It just doesn't...
Literally nothing.
They don't get the plane off the ground, man.
Right. Just
and when they do, it comes down real quick. Yep. Like,
it started, and then the engine failed, and they crashed.
I like the draft. They get picks they're comfortable with. They play well, and then it just, I don't know. TSM, though, like, especially with us being a longer podcast, I'm sure hearing us last week talk about, like, last podcast talk about them and talk about them now, like, TSM does feel like a total upgraded team. Their objectives and calls around objectives got a lot better, and they look, I don't know, they're not, fuck, Sven playing out of his mind this weekend really, really helped them a lot. They still have some EU tendencies that they probably need to ditch, considering NA is greater than EU, suckers. So I don't know. They still have ways to go, but they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. I think at this point we can stop talking about, like, are they going to fall out?
Right.
Like, if they build off this and get consistency, I just dropped my phone on the floor. Fuck. they'll be back up to be in a top tier threat.
And I think something to keep in mind with this team, right? This team was not built to beat everyone in spring. This team was built to try and make a stab at Worlds. This season for them very well could just be a structural season. Like, they're going to make playoffs. They don't really care how well they do in playoffs. They're planning on winning next split, getting to Worlds with the first seed and going from there. Which they could do with some work. They have the talent for it. We have always known they've had the talent for it. And they've shown us that they continue to still have that talent. They just need practice and they need to be a team. And I'm hoping that we see this team not change in the spring offseason. I don't want to see Mike Young disappear. You're not going to see any changes to the bot lane at this point. I don't think.
And it's very obvious the core that they're building around, which is Hauncer and Bjergsen.
Right.
If anybody's going, it's Mike.
It's Mike. And I don't.
You want to know what could cause Mike to get out? Levi has arrived to North America.
He has.
Levi has flown in. We are going to be seeing Levi in the Academy series real quick.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
Some dirty 1v9s. It's going to be great.
But Levi, why would that make Mike Young leave, though?
Because that could cause a jumble in junglers, sir. Levi, you don't just have someone like Levi beat every single Academy team handily. You don't have Levi smash every Academy team and not have every team be like, why the fuck is this guy on an Academy team?
Right.
Somebody who either has an import jungler or can get rid of an import slot to get him in is going to be calling Nadeshot being like, bro, I know you only paid $100. I'll give you $300.
Right. But
all of a sudden, Duke junglers become available. It depends. It depends on who picks up Levi. There is no way Levi can go an extended period on an academy team.
Let's look at our North American junglers. We have Smithy.
Mike He's Young is – hold on. Okay, yeah. He is not exactly safe either. If there is a weak spot on Liquid, I don't like
I guess maybe you could pick Smithy for Mike Young.
It could happen. It depends on who's available, right? I would put it this way.
Oh, man. He is not a center. To build a shot calling, like, strong team atmosphere.
The big things you need to look at is what teams are not moving their junglers, no matter what, right? Golden Guardians is keeping contracts, okay? Yes. Contracts is a part of Golden Guardians' future. Yep. Echo Fox is not getting rid of Dardock. Dardock is a native player, and he is the fucking best player in the LCS right now, all right? FlyQuest doesn't even know who to start week to week. 100 Thieves has Levi on the Academy team, but they're stuck with really, really not... Like, they don't have any moves. They could be a team that they'll move Ryu to bring in a native mid laner or move someday to bring in a native top laner to get Levi into their lineup. Totally possible. CLG, Rainover is not the MVP Rainover that they want, but I really do feel like they're committed to him. CLG is known to be an org that not to take those crazy, crazy risks to pull people in, right? Optic, I mean, Acadian was their first signing, but it clearly hasn't worked out. They're having issues shot calling in games. They could make moves. Who knows?
Yeah, but
they're going to keep Power of Evil, and Arrow is not. I don't think Arrow is a lock.
Right.
I think
but what I'm saying is like, right. So here, under the assumption that Levi goes to Optic, right? TSM is not going to trade Mike Young for Acadian. Not going to happen.
How do you know? All it takes is one night of solo queue with Bjergsen.
It's not going
to
happen.
That needs to be a meme. One night in solo queue. Well, that's what happened with Mike Young, though, isn't it? All of a sudden, next thing you know, you're shipping out Biofrost and Sven Skarin. I can't say it's just Sven because they have Sven.
I think arguably if he does anything, right, I think Levi goes to Liquid and Xsmithie might be a possible trade for TSM. Is Rainover localized?
He won't go to Liquid, and no, he is not.
Okay, so then we can't do Rainover anyways, right? Contracts is staying, Dardock is staying. I don't think you're gonna get Meteos on TSM. Like they don't want him.
I don't think he will go to TSM.
Right. That's the thing. Like Xsmithie to me is the only one in the LCS that could possibly leave their team.
The only reason I believe that they would also take Acadian is for the same reason they took Mike Young, which is just young NA talent that they believe they can coach.
Like, I just feel like they have more faith in Mike Young than they do Acadian, and I do too, to be honest with you. I think Mike Young has a higher ceiling.
Ceiling is different. I just think consistency is a bigger issue with Acadian, and Mike Young is much more consistent, which I think TSM likes. Clutch is building around Lyra.
Like Acadian's only really shown good strength when he first started on those carry junglers like Kha'Zix and things like that, right? And then not even when those fell out of the meta, but when those just stopped being like crazy comfort picks for him and he couldn't just dumpster everyone on them, like he started kind of being a mediocre jungler. Mike Young was, we started the season off with Shyvana and champs like that, and we were like, okay, like you played well, but like you're still losing. And then you put him on Sejuani and it's like, holy shit, like we've got Mike Young on tanks and like they're doing well. Like this could be a season. I think you'll see Mike Young on this team still next
year. What if, highly unlikely scenario. I love playing, you know, hypotheticals. TSM slides back into a slump. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they really don't like their boring, slow EU shot calling. All right. Mm-hmm. They want to make changes. Mm-hmm. And they think that Mr. Rollins is popping off in the academy team for him. And Sven gets homesick, and they're not happy with Mithy, so they don't want to keep him because the shot calling's not there. All of a sudden, you could pull up Mr. Rollins, you drop the bot lane at the split because they go back to EU because EU is going to franchise soon. And all of a sudden, they pulled a yellow star on you. They came in for the payday and dipped. Then you don't need to worry about an import jungler, right? TSM's desperate. They know Levi performs at Worlds. They drop some dollars on him. I don't think it's. It's a non-zero chance, right?
And you get a localized bot.
I don't think that's horrible. I think teams look at Echo Fox.
I don't
C9.
I don't know who you get though. That's the thing. Your two localized bot lanes that were just not going to lose lanes are taken, and you're not going to pull.
What about
them from
Apollo Hakuo? Like, there's a lot of local bot lanes. Like, if you're gonna put like import talent, and you don't need it mid lane, and you don't need it top lane, it doesn't make sense to me to have an imported bot lane. Like, they played out of their minds, and they still went 1-1 this weekend.
Right.
Like I really, really believe. I shouldn't say you're telling me, but I really believe like Levi in the jungle with them would have a much bigger impact than the dream duo bot lane. It doesn't make sense to me why they ditched Double Lift and Biofrost. Also, like I feel like upgrading your import jungler was the way to go if you really didn't like it, and if you were that consistent. Maybe Double Lift is just too toxic. Like after the games when he goes, "I fucking suck" or "You fucking sucked," but he wants to get better. I don't know. Like we don't know the ultimate details on it, but I feel like Reggie just fucking cut the cord way too quick because he knew that EU players were available and he just wanted the best EU players, thinking it was better.
Well, I think that Sven and Mithy's reputation preceded them, right? And the whole best in the West thing really kind of hit true to Reggie, and he was just like, listen, like I want to be the best. I'm gonna have to pay for it, right? Like we're gonna make this work. I can't take points away from him for making that, right? Like, I can't blame the guy for trying to make that work. If I was in his situation, I might have tried to make that work also if I really truly believed in Sven and Mithy as much as he might have. I agree with you that I think upgrading the jungler just with an import jungler or just a stronger North American jungler in general would have been awesome, right? If you could make it work toxicity level wise, right? And you give me Hanser from last year with a bio double lift bot lane, Bjergsen playing well in mid lane, and you put Dardoch playing right now on that team, holy fuck.
That's an entirely native roster, by the way.
Right, and that's amazing to me, right? If Dardoch isn't toxic and he's playing like that, like he's playing right now, that roster to me can do something at Worlds. 100% that roster could do something at Worlds, in my opinion. But, A, hindsight, 2020, and B, I think Reggie just had Sven and Mithy's, like, their whole reputation in his head, and he pulled the trigger on it, and you can't blame him for doing it, right? He saw an opportunity to get potentially the best two bot laners in all of the Western Hemisphere, and he took it. It's got some working out to do, and you might be able to iron some things out. I think it'll stem from what this team can do at the end of this season and the beginning of the next split. But I don't think you're going to see TSM make major changes this offseason unless they like really slump it the rest of this season.
I think there's something super enticing about Bjergsen just being dissatisfied with the way that the team is playing and the way that Reggie has pulled the trigger on successful players on that team and not given them like an extra chance at doing stuff like that. And if anybody's going to make rash changes, I really feel like it's them. Like CLG performing badly doesn't trigger the, oh, they're going to make moves. TSM performing badly definitely triggers that they want to make changes. Reggie does not deal with that shit. And his impatience, I think, can cost them. Like, I feel like if they would have held on to Double Lift and Biofrost, I know they wouldn't go with Dardoch, but it's not crazy to me to just go buy the best world's performing jungler from a smaller region. Like, in my brain, that's just like the easiest fix, right? Like, yes, Levi has struggles with communication, but when you're that fucking good at the game and there's pings, fucking put him in there. Like, God. I don't know. I like, you talk about how that all American roster with Dardoch would be amazing. Then you think about how Levi plays. What if he, you know, like, what if the communication's decent? And they played with foreign players before.
Yeah,
teams play with it. Turtle specifically said in an interview they don't even all speak English, and they're winning games.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna see I don't know if you'll see another non-English speaker on TSM.
I do though. I do believe. I don't necessarily think it'll be Levi or TSM making changes. I do expect that there'll be a lot of changes at the split though, especially for teams that are freshly franchised. I think people will be quick to make a lot of changes to try and lock in future players.
Yeah, I'm just not ready for that. There was changes this season.
And with best of ones, it feels like the season's going so much faster.
Yeah,
you're seeing so much less of players.
We're halfway through already.
Yes. We should probably just clear this last game up real quick.
By last two games.
Oh, I guess, yeah, we still need to go over Fox versus Liquid. We kind of like brought parts of it up, I guess, right?
Yeah. We can go over it.
I have Dardoch is still under hypnosis and being forced to play Zac. Mm-hmm. Somebody save Dardoch. Hooney gets Grasp GP into Gnar.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden it's like, ooh, Hooney's doing things. Yet again, for these two teams, hyper aggressive, very bloody, so much fun to watch. Dardoch needs to be saved because he is popping the fuck off. And he's insane. He's insane. Liquid doesn't get going because Echo Fox just fucking chokes him out, dude. They're so good. It's scary. And then they like drop those other games and it's like, whoa, how'd you choke this one? And then they roll teams like Liquid. It's like, holy cow. But all of a sudden, Liquid can't play from behind. They go 0-2 on the weekend.
They don't know what to do. If they get behind, they don't know what to do. Their plays don't work. It's over. Echo
they
Fox.
Lose to the two best teams in the league. The 2-7-1 teams, they drop two, and they go 0-2 this weekend. Yep. And winning one of these would have been a win for Liquid on this weekend, and it just feels so much worse that they're 0-2.
I liked it.
I mean, I liked it, too. I just feel bad for Dardock.
Yeah.
This poor guy. They're doing. Have you ever seen Get Out?
They're stirring
the teacup on him, bro. Get him
out. Dardock is doing awesome. He's happy. They're winning. I don't care. Quit it. Anyway, anything else?
No. Liquid choked the fuck out. Or sorry, Fox choked the fuck out of Liquid. Yes. Solid game. Fun. Solid game. Super bloody.
Fun game. Worth watching. Optic clutch. Final week 4. Let's go. Clutch. It was kind of boring.
Optic gets another lead.
Yep.
Clutch wants to do nothing. It takes them two Barons and Optic giving away free kills for the game to end. And Clutch actually ends the game in 35 minutes because Optic suicided so hard.
Yes.
This game, the actual game itself where Clutch wins, both fan bases, I think, cringed when they watched this game because they knew that when Clutch got the lead, they were going to play it super slow and boring. And Optic fans knew that once they lost the first objective, it was the beginning of the end.
Well, and then even the way the game ended, right? You were like, are they gonna end this game? Holy shit, they're ending the game. Like,
wait,
this is
wait,
over?
Why is he running out there? Wait, they already got Optic already
Optic,
lost a guy.
Optic stop. Optic stop.
Wait,
no.
Wait, death. Why is someone else running in?
Oh, game's Let over.
I just like and the big thing here, and I brought it up earlier, the post-game analysis on these teams by Mark Z and Jat, just fucking ranting and showing up. And they had really good points, and they pulled really good plays to show why Optic is so good at getting an advantage and playing together. And they have this, like, this play with Power of Evil, like, where they can get these free aggressive picks and kills in the mid-game. And then they just, like, forget how these plays work, and they just stop using these combos later in the game. And it doesn't even take an aggressive team to beat them. Like, Clutch is the ultimate, like, we're going to play boring and win. And they still just can't do anything. They can't set up the plays that they want. They need, like, Optic and 100 Thieves need bits from each other of, like, they need to get together and get their shit. The biggest parts of the post-game rant for Optic, though, was that Zig can't win lane. They know that. They draft around knowing he can't win lane. He will always lose lane. And then they have a really good 20 minutes, and then they fucking suck. And they forget everything. They forget how to play. Lemon just gets picked. They're constantly down, like, one guy or two guys, and they lose the game. And then Clutch, their drafts suck dick. And then they get outplayed a ton early in the game, and it kind of, like, smacks them in the face, and they sit back. And then the only wins they get, Jet and Mark Z say the only wins they have are gifted wins, which I don't necessarily agree with because this is like the classic Envy way of we can't lose if we don't fuck it up.
Right.
And they just wait for the other team to fuck up first. And then there's teams like Optic that'll fuck it up. And then there's teams like TSM and 100 Thieves that don't fuck it up, right? Like the 100 Thieves win from week 3 where Clutch just needed to not fuck up. But 100 Thieves not fucked up longer.
Right.
Like, these teams, like, they have, like, identity issues of, like, what's happening.
Right.
Like, Optic does a really good job at letting Zig lose gracefully and absorb pressure, and then they don't do anything. And then Clutch does this horrible issue of, like, just getting smashed in early games and going from there.
Yes. The analysis was also really good. I did disagree. Sorry. I did disagree with the whole, like, oh, Clutch is only getting gifted these wins. Like, Clutch is earning their wins, right? You might not like the way they're doing it, but it's been their play style since they were Envy, right? Like, we've seen them get wins like this before. And they're good at it, and they're doing it better than some of the other teams like 100 Thieves and teams like that are just like, oh, let's play till 50, 60 minutes. Like, they do that purposely and better, I guess, to put it bluntly. So in general, the game was kind of boring. It just ended. It was over. The analysis was good. I think the analysis post game was better than the actual game itself.
Yeah, opinion. Most of my notes are on the post game analysis, yeah. Actually.
Yeah. So
I also, well, I mean, we won this week as far as predictions go. Huge upset week. You finished 5-5.
Gross.
I finished 4-6. Of course, only one game we deferred on, and of course I lost it. I'm 16-24 on the year.
Man,
oh
you are.
Oh my god. I thought I knew how to talk about League of Legends. You're at 29-11, which is like better than the like of all the people that I've seen with tracked like records of predictions, mm-hmm. which is mainly just like analysts and stuff, you are higher than all of them.
Except for Jad's dog.
Except for Jad's dog.
I'm still losing to Jad's dog. Which is annoying.
With assistance of his cat.
I'm super proud of my picks, to be honest with you.
As you should be.
I was not expecting to do this well. But yeah, I'm still getting my ass kicked by Jad's dog, who's at like a 90% pick rate. It's stupid.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing, though.
Like, but this is really interesting, and I think there's this cool tidbit here that really shows why it's been so hard to predict. Teams 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are within one game of each other.
Yeah, God, it's like four. We're gonna have 9 ties by the end of the season, and we're gonna play 8 extra games on the last day to try and break fucking 9 ties.
Yes, you literally can go from 4th place to 8th place in a weekend right now.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Which is like the difference between almost in the old gauntlet to like almost getting like a bye.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And yeah, we're almost at the halfway point. But these picks have definitely been hard. And I think if you came down, like ultimately with a general look of the standings, most people had a good idea of what it was going to look like. And they've kind of balanced out with the exception of CLG falling a lot lower and Echo Fox peaking a lot higher. So overall, I mean, I'm disappointed because I mean, my picks fucking suck, but at the same time, everybody's picks kind of suck except for yours. You just make me look bad.
Speaking of picks, do you want to do week 5 predictions?
Just crank them out real quick while we're on all the games.
Just might as well. We're already talking about them.
All right.
TL-CLG.
TL and CLG. This game is where I overthink it, and I tell you why CLG's first 10 to 15 minutes is going to be clean, and then Liquid doesn't know how to play from behind. I'm picking TL because I don't believe in my logic anymore. I've broken. My thought process is broken. CLG will win the early game. Liquid will play from behind and win, which one of those things is not like the other.
I agree. I think Liquid's going to take this game pretty easily. I don't honestly know if CLG...
That makes me want to pick CLG so bad.
Man, I don't think that CLG is going to win the early game, to be honest with you.
Have you watched any of their games?
I do think that they could win the early game. I don't think in this matchup they are going to win the early game, because I think you are going to see a different Team Liquid step out onto the stage this week, and I don't think it's going to be... I don't think CLG will win this game.
That's fair. I don't know if I could say Liquid will lose 3 in a row after beginning of the year.
Right.
I was ready
and if
to
they
go
do,
undefeated.
Like, if you do, I feel really bad for Golden Guardians because they are going to get beat to fuck in day 2.
Yeah, they are.
You are going to see Doublelift pick Draven and just go ham on the team.
I want it. I want it now. I want to pick CLG, so I root for it.
So are you picking TL? Because I'm picking TL.
Yes. Okay. I'm picking TL. I'm comfortable with TL.
Okay. 100 Thieves, Echo Fox.
This is easy to me. Yeah. I think Echo Fox had their one whoopsie. And a team like 100 Thieves, their early mini advantage could be a very early big deficit. And I don't think their patience versus Echo Fox aggressiveness. I think Echo Fox is too good and too good at being aggressive.
Correct.
To beat them.
I agree. I think Dardoch is going to be the better jungler in this game. I would not be surprised if 100 Thieves won this game. I wouldn't. Because I think you're going to see them start to do some changes in practice and try and fix some of their early game issues. I don't think it's going to happen quick enough for them to win this game. But I think that's going to be a process that they realized this past week and they're going to start making changes. You don't have Prowly as a coach and not make those changes. I just think that Fox is overall the better team right now, and I don't think they can change fast enough to lose that game or to win that game.
Yep.
Oh, man. C9 versus TSM.
So this could be a big heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
This game. Or it could be what I think, which is C9 is the best team in the league. They're not requiring Jensen to have huge leads to win games. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of their games are ending up with Jensen ending in huge leads.
Yep.
I think that it is fair to say C9 is the best team in the league. And I think it is still fair to say that TSM is working out kinks. They look a lot better. They've really, really taken a ton of strides over the last 2 weeks. But I think C9 is a good heat check for them. Oh, my.
I'm going to call it. I'm going to call TSM. Not Why? Because I think C9 is not the better team. I think C9 is the better team. But I'm interested to see that if TSM can step up their game in a really tough competition with what I would call a rival matchup to them. I think they have a little bit more to play for in the C9 game than they do the Liquid game. I think you could see. You know, I think TSM could win if they play like the team that they could play.
You know, this is the Svenskeren revenge game, right? Mm-hmm.
We broke that with Biofrost. Biofrost didn't get revenge, and now we're 2-1 with it, so it's going to even out at 2-2.
You mean the support couldn't? I guess he's had pop off wins, but
I will 100% not be surprised at all if C9 wins this game at all, right?
I just feel like, no, stop saying that. Stop, because you're going to do the thing where you win the games we split. Stop pretending like it's okay to pick C9. Get the fuck out of here.
It's fine picking C9.
Next game.
You should pick C9.
Next game.
Fuck this game. Who are you picking this game? Who are you picking? Let me pick the opposite.
I feel like they... FlyQuest is going to approach this weekend very different than their previous ones, mm-hmm. because they now have tried out multiple supports, multiple junglers, and multiple mid laners. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they have an idea of what they're going into this weekend with. And they could come out looking like a very, very good FlyQuest, or they could come out looking like we actually can't win lane that well and can't actually transition it that well FlyQuest. And of all the teams to like, just beat them stupid, not like by a lot beat them stupid, but beat them by being simple stupid, Clutch really just finds ways to win games that they probably shouldn't. I think FlyQuest is trending up right now and Clutch is kind of stagnant, and so my gut says FlyQuest.
Ah, damn it. I want to pick FlyQuest. I really do.
I mean, you can do it. Like, this is one of those games where it could be very one-sided, mm-hmm. or it can be a 60-minute snooze fest of fuck, Turtle flashed into a Skarner. It's over.
My biggest concern here, right, and where I think this game comes down to, not to overanalyze kind of probably one of the lower tier games of the weekend.
Definitely of the day.
Of the day, for sure. But Fly versus Febiven, right? I think that if Febiven can beat Fly, I think it's going to go in Clutch's favor, because I don't think that they're going to lose an advantage early game. But if FlyQuest gets an advantage, I think they showed us this weekend that if they hold an advantage and they're up ahead far enough, they can win a game.
There's a good point to that also, which is when Fly lost mid to Jensen, FlyQuest got ruled. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely merit to Febiven is a very good laner, right, and very threatening. And if he shuts down Fly and all of a sudden FlyQuest can't get going, it just makes sense that Clutch will spend one of their 60-minute wins where FlyQuest is never ahead.
Right. I think I'm going to go Clutch.
It makes sense. Like there's total win conditions that both of these teams
win
know.
For both of them. This might be one of the closest games this weekend. To be honest,
like, I'm dead
you.
Serious. This game, I would, if you told me this game went 60 minutes and Turtle flashed at a Skarner, I'd be like, sounds about right.
Yep, that sounds like Turtle.
And Lyra is totally the guy to just fucking flash and scoop his ass up and drag him right back in. I don't know. Like, both of those teams have hard spots, but both of them have win conditions. They both try to play to them, and they both have good and bad games. It could be either. We don't know what team's coming out. I just pick FlyQuest because of the trend.
Sure. I agree.
Do you want first pick on this one?
On this one? No, I kind of like...
The last game of the day, by the way, since they don't know what we're looking at.
Optic, Golden Guardians. I feel like I still got to go Optic. I know Golden Guardians is uptrending. I know that they have the potential to win this game if they win it in draft. I think Optic will still win the game. just because I'm not sold on Golden Guardians uptrending yet.
Do you smell that? Do you smell Golden Guardians knows how to draft now?
The one draft, dude. One draft.
I don't know. I like... this is a situation where Zig can't win lane. Lorelo is trying to 1v9 games. And Golden Guardians is having fun ways of getting these guys on picks that they're having fun playing. I'm going with Golden Guardians. And I'm absolutely...
I already have it written down.
I know. I just, like... this is one of those games where, like, I talk myself into... these are all the things that I love, and I want them to do it again. And then they're going to go out on stage and be like, what do you mean, draft flex picks? What?
We didn't do that last week. Oh, we did. We did.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not necessarily reliant on Optic doing anything past the first 20 minutes, and Lorelo might just get big enough to win the game. So. Yeah. On to Sunday. Sunday fun day.
Someday. He plays
today. Not this game.
Not this game, but he does play on this day.
Another day.
No, he plays on this day.
It's Tuesday, different... bro.
Oh my god, stop. Clutch first TSM. Make your pick.
I think this is TSM. They can't afford an 0-2 weekend. And the C9 win is rough.
Yeah. I think it's TSM. I think they could lose. I don't think they will, though. I don't have much to say about this one. It's TSM.
Yeah. For Clutch to win this game, it's going to take non-flashbacks of Baron throws.
Non-flashbacks of Baron throws? What do you
mean? Vietnam.
Oh, God. I was like, what are you talking about?
Do you remember when Apollo, we just talked about this, where Apollo, Ezreal Q, no smite on Lyra,
oh, God,
stole
don't
Baron.
Remind me.
That's how Clutch wins this game, is just total Vietnam flashbacks.
Yeah.
Team Liquid versus Golden Guardians.
Great analysis. Liquid.
That's all I got.
I'm not giving you shit. It was all on me.
That's how they won the first game.
Team Liquid,
four.
Golden Guardians. TL. You're TL. I guarantee it. If you pick Golden Guardians, you're fucking drunk.
No, it is TL. And I mean, the big thing here is, does Impact continue to feed his ass off? No, because they're going to put him on tanks finally.
Right, and even if he does feed his ass off, like, is Golden Guardians good enough to take advantage of that? No, I don't think so.
I so bad want to see the Draven picking into Deft and Matt. They're definitely and Matt.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see, fucking, like, a Twitch. You could see, like, a Twitch.
Yeah, but I want Draven. I want him too. But fucking full.
I think
Kyler won.
Sneaky is the one that'll pull out Draven this season.
He'll be the first to pull out Jhin again. There'll be a situation where there's an all squishy comp. Like, it could be this next game, which is Fox versus C9.
You think it's gonna be this next game, an all squishy comp when they have Dardock?
No. Being beaten to play Zach. well, duh, Jhin Q on Zac passive, dude. Makes sense.
Dude, it does a lot of damage.
discovering how much damage Misfortune does to Zac.
Oh my god, it's stupid.
Zac passive was surprising.
Holy shit. So Tom and I were playing games on Saturday, and I was playing Misfortune, and a Zac dove me bot lane. And I was like, I'm just going to let him dive on me. Like, we'll kill him, right? So we kill him, he pops passive, and then MF's passive, like level 3, just one-shots Zac blobs. It's like, holy shit,
I autoed them once with Brand, which is like 14 damage, mm-hmm. And you one shot all of them.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
I don't know. This game is, I'm super excited to see it.
Fox
I think
C9.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be bloody again. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, I would love to see this be a situation where they end up in a split map scenario, which I believe is what happened in their first matchup. They totally just split top and bot, and they put Huni on an island top lane, and they put and they swallowed the bot lane up. I think it's going to be the same as their first matchup, which Cloud9 kind of just handled them. They didn't really get rattled by the pressure. I think for Fox to win this game, they have to tilt the fuck out of Jensen. But I think that C9 just plays too solid and deals with Fox's aggression so well that they're going to get what they want out of a draft. They're going to get what they want out of team fights. They're going to be able to win this game just out of being a more experienced group of guys. I don't think Phoenix is going to be able to smash lane against Jensen. I don't think that that Licorice is played to a point where Hooney can smash him. Sneaky and Smoothie are super fucking solid against the no-name bot lane of Echo Fox. Unless Dardock goes 1v9, I don't know. It's got to be C9.
Agree. This is another one of those games where it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if Echo Fox wins because they have the talent to win. But I think C9 overall is playing better. I think Licorice is a fucking monster. I think Jensen is better than Phoenix. I think that Sneaky and Smoothie could very easily smash this bot lane. And Dardock is a better jungler, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can we make it a thing where we don't say Echo Fox's bot laner's names anymore? They basically don't exist to the rest of the world.
I don't know who they are. I'm just kidding. It's all Tekken Adrian.
Mm-hmm. That was the one guy that can only play Janna. Weak mages. And...
No, he can only play Janna.
He can only play Janna, Soraka, and Lulu. He literally can't play anything else like at a top tier level.
Nope. So, right. C9. Boom. Done. 100 Thieves CLG. I don't know who you're actually going to pick on this one, to be honest with you.
I don't know who I'm going to pick on this one, to be honest
with you. I think I'm
going to
pick 100 Thieves, because I don't think they're going to go 0-2.
You think CLG will go 0-2 after being 3-4?
Yep.
Or what are they? Not 3-4. Fucking 3-3? How many games are we in? They're 3-5. That's what I meant to say. So you think they'll drop to 3-7 on the split?
Mm-hmm. Mostly I don't think 100 Thieves is going to drop to 4-6.
You know how I said their early game is going to happen and then they're going to lose to TL from behind?
Mm-hmm.
I think their early game is going to happen and then they're not going to lose to 100 Thieves from behind.
If they get ahead, they will win this game. Yes.
Have you watched any CLG game? Why do you not believe in their first 10 minutes?
I believe in their first 10 minutes. I don't think they're going to get ahead.
What is your definition of ahead?
I don't know. The thing that's
they have like a
shoulders.
5k gold lead. Like they have, I wonder if they have the highest gold differential at 10, like as a team. Is that a stat? Can I pull that up?
Probably not.
That is a team. I can only pull up individuals. I can't even get it at 10. Where do they get those stats?
They have a better stats team than us. Tom.
Listen. All right. Listen, buddy.
Okay, so you're going CLG?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't have it in me to say why other than like early game pressure.
That's fine.
This last game? OpTic versus FlyQuest.
I'm going FlyQuest.
I'm going OpTic.
I like the uptrend of FlyQuest. I think Fly is a great mid laner.
I just picked Flame. I just picked Flame into Zig, and then Zig would win. Oh no!
Yeah, I think FlyQuest wins this game.
I feel like if OpTic wins this, Zig will be down at least 100 CS, even if they win.
Yeah, guaranteed the entire game. Even
to
the support.
Oh, I got it! I got the win condition. It clicked. The light bulb came on. It is Wild Turtle sightings into Arrow, but yeah. This time. It's not Stixxay with a zillion to save his ass. It's Lemon Nation getting flashed on and Arrow being able to pop off. Because Lemon Nation will be out of position. And you know Turtle can't resist it, man. It's just that one quick kill. And then okay. Arrow's going to 1v9. Sure. OpTic's going to get through 20 minutes. Power of Evil's way too solid mid lane. He'll shut down Fly. FlyQuest won't get going. Turtle sightings. Plus Arrow. I'm buying in.
Boom. FlyQuest OpTic. We're split. We've got a decent amount of split this week.
Who do you think is favored in this last game? Like, on a completely, like, just... if this was a game in Vegas, what do you think, like, who's favored?
FlyQuest. Uptrend. I think FlyQuest's uptrend is better, and that's why Vegas would pick them.
They've got the new thing with their new mid laner.
Yep.
Fair enough. I wonder, there probably is betting odds, by the way, on these games, and I really should look them up so I know them.
I don't know where we would find them.
There's definitely, like, BetDSI definitely has betting on esports.
Hmm.
But anyway, for a different time.
Cool.
How far in are we?
That's week five. Man, I don't even know. Let me check. Where are we at?
I'm probably 2 hours in.
I'm 1 hour and 47 minutes. 48 minutes.
Yikes. So, do you want to crank through these talking points and
yeah,
wrap
I mean,
it
we
up?
Don't have very many, right? Loco Gon was one of our first ones. We've already gone over that. He's a sexual predator.
Allegedly.
Women, allegedly. Spring finals are going to be in Miami. Kind of cool. Really, really small theater, though. Like, super tiny. So if you want to go, buy tickets, like, as soon as they drop. Because there's, like, if I remember correctly, like, less than 2,000 seats.
And it will guaranteed be like other events where they're bought up by ticket sharers and you have to pay more than face value. Get them on launch day if you want them.
Yes. Like,
otherwise, you will pay twice
launch.
As much as face value.
Yes. And they're awesome. Went to North American Finals last year for the, I mean, I guess last split. And it was fucking awesome in Boston. Went to Worlds when it was in Chicago. Like, live League of Legends is way better than you would expect. Totally worth going. So do that if you can. Otherwise,
Sunday start times got moved up. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
We bitched about it and it happened. I take all the credit. Reddit had nothing to do with it except for me calling out their thread that happened before I brought it up.
Well, and then
it only moved it up an hour though. But
yeah,
it's a start.
And then they talk about, and then EU people were freaking out. They were like, "Oh man, this was totally in North America's favor." I was like, "This is definitely
they got it moved."
Yeah, whatever. I don't. It's going up. It's going up an hour. Watch earlier on Sunday.
Man, we're EU. We don't want to stay up late. Wah, we're EU. Why would you move it? You didn't move our times. I don't know. I'm over EU. You're trash. hey, EU. Thanks for all your best players. Because you guys suck.
Bye. Next week, we're going to be doing some mid-split awards as well. So we're going to do like a probably a mid-MVP and some other like fun ones that I don't really want to spoil right now. But they're going to be not necessarily like your traditional rewards. So those will be fun. Look forward to those next week.
Tweet us your ideas because we have a Twitter now.
We do have a Twitter now.
LTA League. Just because, you know, we are the LTA podcast. So tweet at us at LTAL. Oh, my God. I fucked it up.
LTA League. Tweet at LTA League. It'll have the same icon on the Twitter as it does our podcast. Really easy to find.
Bonus points if you put hashtag Kurt sucks.
Yes. No. If you put Kurt, where you at? If you tweet at us and you say in your tweet, you just say hashtag Kurt, where you at? I'm going to call you out on next week's podcast and we might give you,
we should just
sponsored.
Can you pull it up right now? You should pull it up right now and just call out like the followers that we have. Actually, we know we should wait. Cause those are only people that knew about it before the pod.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, YouTube channel is also created. I will probably start putting the podcast on YouTube as well. And possibly looking into doing like an actual like mid-season stream on Saturday night for mid-season rewards and things like that. So look for that. We'll make an announcement on Twitter though, so feel free to just follow us on Twitter and we'll give you all the information there when everything kind of gets finalized and pushed through. Still on Podomatic, still on
Google
Play Store.
Yeah, do you got any other talking points?
No, I don't. I'm good.
All right. Follow us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Give us likes.
iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic. We'll see you guys all next week. Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.